Well, Seth MacFarlane, who's a well-known atheist and a writer, a cartoonist, he's behind the Family Guy series. MacFarlane is the executive producer of this remake of Cosmos, the Carl Sagan program from the 1970s. And the first episode of this just came out. And along with the science, there was an animated piece, so I presume MacFarlane was very largely behind that, that tells the story of Giordano Bruno, who was the 16th century kind of renegade Dominican friar who was burned at the stake in 1600. In fact, in Rome, in the Campo dei Fiori, to this day, you'll see a statue of Bruno on the site where he was put to death. Well, in MacFarlane's telling of the story, Giordano Bruno is portrayed as the great hero of modern science, and then the church officials, uniformly displayed with, you know, dark eyes and brooding expressions, and under their wicked hoods, are the enemies of progress. Well, when I saw this, I thought, here we go again. See, Avatar is a very secularist reading of modernity. Need to tell this story, this myth, over and over again. It's a bit like a founding myth. And to establish their position, they have to revisit this story over and over again. Namely, that liberal political forms and the modern sciences emerged only after a long twilight struggle with repressive and authoritarian dogmatic religion. And so, just like the effigies on Guy Fawkes Day that have to be brought out to be burned, on a regular basis, the secular avatars have to bring out, as it were, this effigy of wicked, repressive, dogmatic religion that stood in the way of science. I'll leave to the side for the moment the issue of the emergence of modern politics and religion, but I do feel a need to take up again this issue of science, because this myth I've been describing is just that. It's a complete myth. Think for a second of the great founders of modern science. And this is, you know, Copernicus, Galileo, it's Newton, it's Pascal, all these figures who were educated exclusively in church-sponsored universities, where they would have learned their fundamental mathematics and physics and astronomy. More to it, at those universities, they would have taken in two very basic assumptions that are essentially theological in form. I'm talking about the assumption that the world is not God and that the world is imbued with intelligibility. And both of those are corollaries of a more fundamental assumption that the world has been created. See, if the world's been created by God, then we can say with confidence, the world is not God. Therefore, the world is not to be worshipped or idolized. And you see that in all kinds of religions and mysticisms up and down the ages. No, for a Christian, the world has been made, so it's not God. Therefore, it can be experimented upon. Therefore, it can be analyzed. It's not worshipped, but it can be the stuff of scientific investigation. And then secondly, precisely as created, the world is marked in every detail by intelligibility. In the beginning was the Word, was the divine mind or intelligence. And then all things are marked by that intelligence, and therefore they can be known. I would argue it's no accident that the modern physical sciences emerged where and when they did. In other words, within a Christian intellectual matrix. Without those two assumptions, the modern sciences would not, because they could not, emerge. You know, the young Josef Ratzinger, who eventually became, of course, Benedict XVI, the young Josef Ratzinger uses this idea to formulate a very elegant argument for God's existence. Namely, he says, the objective intelligibility of the universe, the fact that in every nook and cranny, the universe is marked by intelligibility, that objective intelligibility corresponds to a great subjective intelligence, which has thought that intelligibility into existence. In other words, these great universal laws, how can there be laws without a lawgiver? How can there be intelligibility without an intelligence which has thought it into existence? Ratzinger observes, by the way, that this fact is implicitly accepted in our rather curious use of the term recognition to signal an act of knowledge. I say, I recognize that. I recognize the truth. Well, recognize, to think again, when I know something, I'm thinking again what's already been thought into existence. See, and if Ratzinger's right, and these assumptions are right, then religion is not the implacable foe of science. Just the contrary. Religion, rightly construed, is the ground and foundation of the sciences. And it was that very idea that clearly animated the great founders of the modern sciences. Now, the ideologues of radical secularism, and Seth MacFarlane's a good example, will bore you all day with stories of Hypatia and Giordano Bruno, and especially, of course, Galileo. By the way, all of those stories are complex. You know, in another video, I'll go into all the details of what makes those stories complicated. But I'll leave them aside. I'll grant those for sake of argument. Those are stories of the relatively few exceptions where church people, including at very high levels, who did not clearly understand the principles I've been laying out, who didn't understand the Catholic tradition at its best, misapplied things, misunderstood, and did some terrible things. But here's my point. To take those relatively few exceptional cases as normative is radically and dramatically to misrepresent the truth of things. There is an extraordinary number of Catholic priests. I'll just begin with the priests. I mean, you talk about Catholic scientists in general, but let's just stay with Catholic priests who have made remarkable contributions to the physical sciences. And I might just share a couple of these. Again, there are literally thousands of them. I wonder how many people know the story of Father Jean Picard, a priest of the 17th century, who was the first person to determine the size of the earth to a reasonable degree of accuracy. How many know about Father Giovanni Battista Riccioli, 17th century Jesuit astronomer, the first person to measure the rate of acceleration of a freely falling body? How many know about Father George Searle, a Paulist priest of the early 20th century, who discovered not one, not two, but six separate galaxies? How many know about Father Benedetto Castelli, a Benedictine monk and scientist of the 16th century, who was a very good friend and supporter of Galileo? As was, by the way, Maffeo Barberini, who eventually became the pope who persecuted Galileo, but in his earlier life was a great friend, interlocutor, conversation partner with Galileo. How many know about Father Francesco Grimaldi, a Jesuit priest who discovered the diffraction of light? How many know about, I've discussed him before, Father George Coyne, a contemporary Jesuit astrophysicist and priest who for many years ran the Vatican Observatory in Castel Gandolfo and outside of Tucson? I'm sure many know about Father Gregor Mendel, the Augustinian monk who virtually invented modern genetics. How many know about Father Teilhard de Chardin, 20th century Jesuit priest and paleontologist? How many know about Father Georges Lemaître, who was the formulator of the Big Bang Theory and a Catholic priest? I happened to see Seth MacFarlane on Bill Maher's program, and he was going on and on about the Big Bang, how important the Big Bang is to understand the universe, and the Big Bang theory, and then contrasting it to all these poor Yahoo religionists who don't believe in it. And all the time I kept thinking, does he know that the formulator of the Big Bang theory was a Catholic priest? Now, here's my point. Can we please dispense with this silly nonsense that the Catholic Church stands opposed to the sciences? And can we please acknowledge Seth MacFarlane's version of this as the basest kind of anti-Catholic propaganda?